Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
There's a little bit of controversy over my choice to cast Tony as the wise man in our church nativity play, because, well, Tony can sometimes be...
Yep, that's some good birch.
Birch? Why would they use birch? It's not even indigenous to Israel.
Tony's just a little bit of a know-it-all.
Did Acacia not even cross your mind?
That's probably birch.
Potato salad is of German origin, brought over here by European settlers. You know, fascinating point. The carb load on that is 37 grams. Great for marathon runners.
There's no doubt that Tony knows a lot of useless facts. But when he doesn't know something...
Now, of all the wise men's gifts, myrrh was the most profound. It's used to prepare a body for burial.
What does real myrrh smell like?
I imagine it has like a lush floral scent.
Nah, it's woodsy. Warm, aromatic, musky.
My mom leads the essential oils small group.
But there's a certain something about Tony. Something that he doesn't even see about himself.
Put your shoulder into it so it doesn't strip the head. Hey, well done. That's good. Good job.
Tony has the kind of heart that understands where the real treasures are. What they are, who they are. And he understands the King of Kings came first as the lowly servant.
This baby, this beautiful gift, this the glory of God, the glory of Christmas, who would eventually sacrifice himself for us. For me, well, let's just say, with that kind of knowledge, you can never approach the manger quite the same way again.
That's why he's the wise man.
How are you approaching the manger this Christmas? C.S. Lewis once said that the only thing that can dwell in the presence of God is humility. And with all of the things that our friend Tony, the wise man, in that little video may or may not know, it seems that the one thing that Tony did know was his place in the story. And friends, knowing your place in the story, it's another aspect that's worthy of our consideration when it comes to looking at the glory of Christmas. The central character in the story of Christmas, it's actually named in this holiday season that we celebrate, right? Would you say it with me? Christ. 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 Think about it with me. Jesus Christ is the centerpiece He's the centerpiece in this entire story. What the whole story is about revolves around him. It's what we read as we read through the gospel accounts. Christmas, it's not about the wise men. It's not about shepherds. It's not even about Joseph or Mary or any of the livestock or maybe even a hovering angel. No. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And while so many times we may inadvertently or maybe even intentionally live as if the story of life revolves around us, revolves around me as the main character, you as the main character. Friends, the glory of Christmas is that we are given an annual opportunity to reframe what the story is really about, the story of life, why we're here, why he came. And it's that Jesus was born as the Savior of the world. Think about that. God made a choice. God chose to become incarnate in the form of a fully human child. And he moved into the neighborhood of planet Earth as our way to go back home, to be with him, in a relationship with him. And so we're talking about the wise man a little bit this morning, as he is a part of this story, as we saw in that video. And, you know, a wise man is called a wise man because a wise man is supposed to have some wisdom, right? Well, think about this. Wisdom is knowing enough to know that we're not meant to be center stage in this story, particularly the story of Christmas. And think about your own home. Raise your hand if you've got a nativity set out at your house. If you're online, would you just raise an emoji hand or say, yeah, I've got one? Does anybody's nativity set, maybe you got some knockoff brand somewhere and they had somebody besides Jesus in the middle of it, and I mean, you got it like for a major discount? Probably not. I mean, maybe you've got one of those that you can set the different pieces out. Anybody put a camel right in the middle and everybody? No. Shepherd? Mm-mm. Mary? No. 100% of the nativity scenes have the same character in the story at the center. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Nobody has a nativity scene displayed where the wise man takes the focal point, and that's because the glory of the story is who's at the center. The glory of the story is who is at the center. You may just want to take your phone out, just take a picture of that, and as you're scrolling this week, just go back and look at that and go, man, how am I framing my day today around that truth right there, around that reality right there? The glory of the story is who's at the center rather than who is on the periphery. All these other characters, all the people, all of the pieces, they always surround Jesus. And that certainly includes the wise men. And wise people understand this dynamic that we're talking about this morning. Only a fool would think that the glory of Christmas is about someone other than the Christ. I mean, hate to break it to you, but Christmas, as much as I love the guy, isn't about Santa. It's not about Scrooge. It's not about what the Grinch tried to steal. I mean, those are great stories that are fun, and we watch them in our house, and I always watch. I mean, every time it comes on, man, I'm going to pause on it for a second and just kind of gives me all the feels. But Christmas always has first and foremost been about Jesus as the central meaning. And the wise men, they demonstrate a glorious move that we would be well served to remember concerning their place and our place in the story of Christmas. If you have your Bible, would you take it or turn it on to Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2. Turn with me to Matthew 2. I just want us to read a few verses in this part of the Christmas story together, and I want you to try to really notice the move of the wise men. We're going to read Matthew 2 verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump down to the middle of verse 9, and we'll read the middle of verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11. Notice the move that the wise men make. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Skip down to verse 9, halfway through. "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love this story. These wise men, think about it with me. They just stopped what they were doing in their everyday lives. They just stopped. They just hit the pause button on whatever it was that they were doing. We don't know exactly what they were doing, but whatever it was, whatever Netflix series they were binging on, they just stopped. And they reprioritized all of their time, all of their focus, all of their energy, all of their efforts to move from whatever it was that they were concentrating on, focusing on, and they totally reoriented their lives and made a move that would end in them being in close proximity to Jesus. They moved toward worshiping Jesus and offering gifts to him in the process. Think about that. These actions, these choices by these wise men demonstrate and they remind us of a glorious truth about Christmas. And it's this: the story is about someone else. Would you make that declaration with me this morning? The story is about someone else. Man, the story wasn't about them. It's not about us. It's not about all these other characters. The story is about him. It's about Jesus. And what a treasure. What a treasure to be reminded that our place in the story is not at the center of it all. That's a glorious gift God desires to remind you and me of today. What a blessing to remember that part of the glory of Christmas is about giving gifts rather than receiving them. You might want to take a picture of that one too, because, man, for some we're going, man, I'm kind of doing the countdown. I mean, I was talking to Lucy this morning. She's running camera this morning. We had to get here early this morning, and Lucy's telling me on the way in this morning, man, I got to figure out stuff to do this week to make it through until the 24th. And I know what she's thinking, because she wants to come up to the Christmas Eve service and hear that sermon I'm going to preach. That's a big no. She's like, no, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm really looking forward to when we're all around the tree, because when we get all around the tree and, man, good things happen and good things come my way. That that's what we think about, right? That's okay to think about that. That's fun. But part of the glory of Christmas is about giving gifts rather than receiving gifts. And man, our friends, the wise men, they are recorded as bowing down before Jesus in worship and giving him gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Have you ever stopped to think that it wasn't the other way around? They didn't show up like this. What do you got? I made my way here. No, they came like this. And they got low when they got close. The story of Christmas is about somebody else getting gifts. Rather, Christmas is about Jesus being honored and recognized and worshiped with gifts. Really good gifts. Really, really good gifts. I mean, we kind of hear the songs. We kind of grow up maybe listening to the story. And we kind of know, yeah, the frankincense and gold and the myrrh. And I mean, confession time. How many of you have given a gift that you took away from a white elephant Christmas party? How many of you, your spiritual gift is re-gifting gifts? Yeah? Anybody? Yeah, that is not what happened here. I mean, these wise men came in and they got it right. They nailed it. Yeah, the wise men likely had all kinds of head knowledge. They had esteemed recognition for their comprehension on a variety of things. But when it came to bowing down and offering gifts, they nailed that one big time. Now, in the video, our wise man named Tony, he was described as kind of a know-it-all. Especially when it comes to useless bits of information. Anybody married to anybody that just has useless bits of information and they share it all the time? Right now, my wife is joining online going, that is my husband. He has more useless information. It's unbelievable. We had a dollar for every time Allison's spouse spouted off useless information. That's true, by the way. It's true. We would have paid our house off years ago. Tony, the wise man, had all kinds of useless information. And yet at the end of the day, Tony, just like our actual wise man in the story, he knew his place in the story, didn't he? Wasn't that communicated in that little video? He knew that too. And friends, here's what we know that Tony knew, that serving Jesus, rather than being served, is more in line with the true glory of the story of Christmas. That's another one right there that's worth taking a picture of, to just kind of before you go to bed tonight, or when you get up in the morning, or after you watch the Cowboys probably win today and just delay a really good draft pick, and you could just pull that out. If your team, Rick, when the Aggies come in at number 5 today and they don't get into the playoff and you're going to be frustrated, you can pull this out and just go, yeah, but serving Jesus rather than being served is more in line with the true glory of the story of Christmas. And just be reminded of that truth. See, sometimes we get that out of order in our lives, don't we? Especially just throughout the year, throughout this past year. Man, we've kind of gotten that out of order a little bit. Maybe you kind of have gotten into the line of thinking, just going, man, I really deserve something on this one here. I deserve to be served. I mean, we get frustrated. Just another confession. Anybody get frustrated when things don't go your way? Yes. Yes. Anybody, not saying it out loud, or maybe you are, but at least you're thinking it. Congress, can you kind of hurry up with that extra stimulus package? Because I need that next check, because I've got stuff that's building up here, and I kind of need that. If you could hurry it up and deposit that into my account, that'd be really helpful. Or scientists, if you could just go ahead and like, you know, whatever you can do to get the vaccine even distributed quicker. I mean, I've got stuff to do. So if you could hurry it up, I could get on with my life. Anybody, or just me? No, see, we become impatient. Has there been one time in 2020 where you've been a little impatient? Yeah. We get impatient. Sometimes we start feeling entitled. Gosh, when's it going to get here? Don't they see me here? Do I need to take my mask off so you can know it's me? Get my order ready and right and now. We become impatient. We become entitled to better service, to more focus on our needs, whatever the situation, whatever the scenario might be. My guess is in 2019 we were the same way. Because that's just who we are at the center. And yet if we'll let it, Christmas helps us to stop, does it not? It helps us to remember that if we're going to have this same approach, if we're going to have a same attitude like the one in the center of the nativity, Jesus, as he grows up and his life is on display and his followers write about him, they talk about how selfless he lived. They talk about how everybody else mattered to him. The Apostle Paul would write about this focus in the letter that he wrote to some of his friends that lived in Philippi. Turn to the right. I want to show you this. This has been hitting me this Christmas. Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I want to look at just a few verses with you here. Choosing to serve others rather than to be served. Paul talks about this. Paul references this as he's writing about the life of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Look what Paul writes. Do nothing from rivalry. Maybe you've got a version that says selfish ambition. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others... Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? He's not kidding you. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. You want to be a follower of Jesus? Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, her own interests, but also to the interests of others. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Verse 5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow! I love that little amen. As I've been just sitting with that, I preach to myself. Have I ever told you I preach to myself? Here's what the Lord's been bringing to my mind as I've been preparing. And I've been sitting with this. You're going, oh no. What are you going to say about the mask? Relax for a second, okay? You go, I can't relax. I can't breathe because I've got one. There's nobody that's going, you know, when this pandemic's over, I think I'm going to keep the mask. It's me. It feels comfortable. It goes with everything. It feels so natural across the bridge of my nose. I'm especially fond of the way that it indents my beard. Here's what God's been saying to me about the mask. You're going, oh, is he fixing to get political? Whatever. Just take it for whatever you want to take it for. What's he really trying to do? I'm just opening my life and saying, this is God and me having a conversation about me. It's not about you for a second, okay? This is me. Because sometimes I wonder, which news media should I really trust? I know I'm the only one on that. Sometimes I wonder, how did Dr. Fauci become the expert on everything? And should I always listen to him? I have these conversations with myself. Is there really a conspiracy theory going on here? And am I being a part of it? I know I'm the only one wondering that. Again, this is just me talking to God. And I didn't get any supernatural, divine something beyond just, what if this, for you, Dave, what if this had more to do with what we just read here? What if this, just for me, this isn't for you. You go do whatever you want to do. I'm just having a conversation about what I'm talking about with God. What if this was your tactile way to remind you you're not the most important person? Because if you and God were the only two walking around on this earth, would you mandate this for yourself? Probably not. I mean, it is pretty neat. No. But what if Jesus just said, hey, would you wear this?
Well, yeah. Of course, Jesus. I mean, if you want me to wear it, I'll wear it. And then he says, because you're not the only, I have other creations. I'll tell you how much I love the mask, especially when I'm wearing a microphone. Stupid mask. I mean, it's a good mask. Not stupid. It's a good mask. I love the mask. Every single time, if I choose, This can remind me. What was it we just read? Yeah. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. What if every single time I chose to put this mask on, it was really, for me, a declaration to say, I'm choosing to empty myself. I'm choosing to lay down my right. I'm choosing to, in freedom, submit. I don't know, some of you are thinking, you start submitting now. You start submitting to the government. The government's going to take it all. To which I would say, have you read your Bible? Because see, Jesus stands before the government. Just before he's about to go to the cross, and he says to Pilate, you would have no authority unless it was given to you. I can promise you, Jesus is not trembling about a transfer of power in our nation on January the 20th. And yet he is radically interested in you getting to the place and I getting to the place where we live our lives saying, you are more important than me. You are more important than me. You are more important than me. Isn't that what we say around here? Follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. What if it was about something that nobody's really even writing about? That's what God's been talking to me about. And friends, it's a beautiful thing to remember what the wise men did at the start of Jesus' life as a newborn and what Paul says all people will do in time. And it's this, bow before him. Would you just say that with me? Bow before him. Say it one more time. Bow before him. See, no matter what we believe about Jesus right now, or where it is that we think we should be situated in the story of life right now, in time, every single person will find himself or herself on their knees, face down, worshiping King Jesus. And you will not be wearing a mask. And when we realize that the wise thing to do is what the wise men did. It's this right here. Bow early and often as a way to recognize who is at the center of the story. When's the last time you physically got on your knees and on your face and bowed? What if you did that at least once a day between now and Christmas as a physical, tangible, posturing way to remind yourself, wise people do this. Wise people do this. See, if we bow early and we bow often as a way to recognize and remember daily who's at the center of life's story, friends, I'm telling you, it's going to go well for you now and go well for you in eternity. And it will help you reframe and remember who is being cast center stage. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it will help us follow Jesus. And it will help us love our neighbor. And it will help us bless the city. And we will become disciples. But we won't if we don't bow often and bow early. And may we serve others. Because when you serve others, Jesus said, if you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. May we serve Jesus by serving others. As we make our way through this Christmas season, may we look for opportunities to humble ourselves, to move off center stage for a moment, to slide to the background or to the periphery and help somebody else in need. Reach out and make a difference in somebody else's life and share the reason why you are doing it. Because they're made in the image of God. And they're more important than you. At least that's what Paul is writing about. Consider others more important. You're more important than me. You're more important than me. You're more important than me. May we find ourselves on our knees, offering gifts. The gifts of our life. The gifts of our tithes. The gifts of blessing others in tangible ways. Rather than desiring others to bow and give gifts to us. Serve people, love people, think about people, go out of your way for people. Yes, part of the glory of Christmas is that it helps us to remember our place in the story. And we can be reminded of this in a fresh way this season from that most famous Bible verse that the most amount of people in the world have seen or may recognize, John 3:16. Look at it again with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. May we remember this truth. God gave his only son. God gave his only son. The story of Christmas and the truth of this verse does not say that God gave you to the world. That God gave me to the world. It is a glorious and wonderful and refreshing thing when we remember this. We never were intended to be God's gift to the world. Just kind of takes all the pressure off to perform or to try to be someone that we were never intended to be in God's eyes. See, a wise person would never be so foolish to presume that he, she, you, or I were ever meant to be center stage in God's story. Only a fool would take the spotlight meant for someone else. So relax this Christmas a bit. Choose to step to the side, to the background, where we were meant to be in this story from the very start. And consequently, may we enjoy the glory of Christmas as we find ourselves to the side and not to the center. May we find ourselves bowing on bended knee before the King as we offer him gifts of worship and our lives of service to him. May we be people who consistently seek Jesus, and we do our very best to point other people to him as we share the gospel and live it out. Because the truth is this, Jesus is the center of the story. Would you declare that truth with me? Jesus is the center of the story. So let's live our lives for his glory and tell his story this Christmas.
I want to invite our worship team to come, and as they do, I want to just show you three questions to just think about for a moment. You might want to take a picture of this one too, and just invest some time this week going back to it. But for just a moment, is there an area in your life where Jesus is not the center of it all? Something come into mind? How might you give Jesus the gift of service by blessing someone else this Christmas? Maybe it is going out of your way to include someone that is being physically isolated this Christmas and can't be with family. And you're like, man, we are FaceTiming you in. You're going to be around the tree with us. What is that? How might you give Jesus the gift of? So you go, how are you giving Jesus that gift? Because you're considering somebody else more important than your moment of tradition. You're bringing somebody else into the moment with you. Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. What does it look like for you to live a life that's bowed before Jesus? Where are you standing so tall that Jesus is just going, would you bow? Practice bowing. What's resonating with you? I told you my little conversation about the mask, and before we respond and sing to the King in just a moment, can I tell you this too? When I walked into the room today, I felt a heaviness. I mean, it's been a hard year pastoring people. Because nobody's just going, this is awesome. More of 2020, please. No. Every day, I have the privilege of listening with a pastor's ear to people who are hurting and burdened and sick and unemployed and wandering and frustrated and dying and hopeless. And this morning, I thought about people that I know are connecting online. I know they're connecting online. I've gotten cards in the mail this week that have told me so. They've never walked onto this campus, and yet you feel a part of this church. And some have come back onto this campus, and you're carrying a load. And the pastor's heart in me is feeling that for you today. Jesus has not abandoned you. He is with you. He is for you. And he wants to connect his heart with yours today. You are not alone in this. We're in this together. Sometimes it's 6 feet apart. Sometimes it's 6 miles apart. Sometimes it's 60 miles apart. Or a continent apart. But you're not alone in this.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.